Welcome to the Home Health Revealed podcast, brought to you by HealthRev Partners. Join your hosts, Michael Greenlee and me, Hannah Vale, as we dive into the world of home health, hospice, and palliative care services. Each episode features real stories and insights from industry leaders covering everything from innovative technologies and payer negotiations to quality improvement and clinician safety. Whether you're a seasoned professional or new to the field, our podcast offers valuable knowledge to help you provide the best care for your patients. Tune in and be part of the conversation on Home Health Revealed. Welcome to Home Health Revealed. I am your host, Hannah Vale, and today we are going to be talking about the Oasis GG items with OCHOC's host, Jan Milliman, and guest speaker, Kelly Cavanaugh, RN, HCSD, HCSH, HCSO, BCHHC. She's an independent home health and hospice consultant and owner of the OTB Group. Kelly has been in home health and hospice for 30 years. She's worked as an agency owner and as an administrator, a DON. She's done claims and billing. She has been a field nurse and served as director of education. She has been coding and OASIS certified for over 15 years. Be sure to stay tuned until the end of their portion to hear more about how HealthRev Partners is setting agencies up for success with the OASIS GG items. You can also access the video recording on our HealthRev Partners YouTube channel to view the interactive polls and see the on-screen information that was shared during this session. Now I'm going to turn it over to Jan.
So now that our listeners know a little bit about you, Kelly, let's see, listeners, we'd like to know a little bit about you because this GG item area has so many layers to it. We want to make sure the information that Kelly shares today, you know, hits on the things that you all want to know. So I'm going to ask you a couple of poll questions just so we can get an idea of your role with the OASIS and then also your experience with these GG items. So let me go ahead and launch our first poll. All right, in our first poll, we are asking you, are you a clinician who performs OASIS, a QA reviewer of OASIS, an educator who teaches on OASIS, an administrator who oversees OASIS, or an other role, or you're not involved in the OASIS? And if you do choose that other role or not involved, if you want to just give us a little information in the chat about what your role is, you could go ahead and do that. I'm starting to see some trends in these responses, but I think we still have a few more folks who haven't voted yet. So I'm going to give it a couple of seconds before I close out this first poll. All right, I think we've got a pretty good crew responding, so I'm going to close that poll, and I'll go ahead and share the results of this first poll, and then we'll move on to the second one. So our first poll shows us that we have about a 43% QA or reviewers of OASIS and 30% administrators who oversee OASIS. And then we did get comments. Let's see, we've got a medical coder who is one of those folks who isn't necessarily involved with the OASIS, but I think it's still a good thing to understand some OASIS stuff even when your role is mostly focused on the coder. So hopefully that gives Kelly a little more insight into the folks that we have on the call. And then let's pick up and check out the results of the other poll. Let's see here. Apologies, I'm trying to get to that second poll. Okay, so I'm going to hide that one. And okay, here we go. I haven't launched back-to-back polls, so I'm a little rusty. Apologies. Here we go. All right. So our next poll question is, how would you rate your experience with the OASIS? And our first option is, you were educated initially when the GGs came out, but you've kind of been winging it since. Our next option is, you score and change the GG items based on software scrubber for the most part. Our third option is expert level. You studied the effects of the GG items for several years. Or our final level of understanding with these items is completely overwhelmed by the GG items. So we'll give you a little bit to get those responses in, and then we'll share the results of this poll. I see folks are still voting, so we'll give it a couple more seconds and try to get as many responses as we did to that first poll. So we kind of have a matched set here. All right, looks like voting is starting to slow down. All right. I am going to go ahead and close this one out, and we'll see what the results of this was as well. So thanks to everybody who has voted. And here we go. The results of this poll, we had a tie for the middle options, so mainly scoring and changing the GG items based on the scrubber and expert level. But then I would say the first option was pretty darn close. Educated initially and kind of winging it. So, Kelly, it looks like it's pretty much across the board, the folks that we have on the call today. So, I think all the information you can share is probably going to be helpful to these wonderful listeners
Awesome.
today.
Awesome.
So,
Thank you guys so much for answering those questions, because it really does help me to know kind of how to tailor this quick presentation, because we have what, 20 minutes to tell you everything you need to know about what's coming down the pike. So, I will do my best to tailor this presentation to kind of some things you need to know. But always focusing on getting more information and how you can find more information. So that'll come at the end for you.
Great. Thanks, Kelly. I'm going to go ahead and advance to your first slide and let you take it from here.
Okay. All right. And my answer to the GG for to me stands for goodness gracious, because I mean goodness gracious, right? So the first thing I want to say is what's new for 2025, because there is some great news coming down the pike for those of us who have been reviewing the GG items and who've been completing the GG items. The GG 130 and 170 discharge prediction column is going away, and thank goodness for that. So on your start of cares or resumption of cares, you don't have to get your crystal ball out and try to predict how the patient's going to do down the road. So that's good news. But don't get super excited about that just yet, because it's going away for us, but is it really going away? That is the question. There's a couple of other OASIS things. We're not really going to go into detail, but the early late episode timing's going away, and the 2200 therapy visit counts finally retiring from the OASIS for E1 in 2025. Okay, so the discharge function measure is something that is going to be newly created for value-based purchasing, and it's going to replace our current total normalized composite score measurement, which is in the value-based purchasing today. So that is going away, and it's going to be replaced with this discharge function measure. And that is going to be from the GG items. And there is a really big mathematical calculation that's going to happen to get that DC function measure. And so that's why I said don't get too excited about that discharge prediction score going away, because yes, it is going away and we will not have to fill that out. But behind the scenes, CMS is going to kind of be doing that now for us, because they're going to be determining a point for our patients that they expect our patients to meet as far as a discharge outcome. And if we do or if we don't meet what they have in mind for our patient, then that's going to determine whether or not we are successful with our discharge function measures. So it's a little bit concerning, because it's almost like a moving target, trying to hit a moving target that you can't even really see. So it's challenging nonetheless. So let's move on to the next slide quickly. Okay, so what are some of the issues with functional scoring? Now, this plays a role, into a lot of the QA people that are on the call today, but also the actual people who are doing the scoring of the OASIS and the education that they might need coming down the pike, because we are still going to have the 1800s. The 1800s are not going away. And the 1800s are still what our payment is going to be based off of in the future. So that's not changing. It's just this discharge outcome measure for value-based purchasing that's changing. So you're still going to have to score these two sets of questions. And as we all know, those two sets don't really match. They don't really align. They can correlate to a point. But then we have these software scrubbers who, you know, everybody says that they kind of rely on some of that, these software scrubbers, but they just try to force these things to match. And that's kind of all a computer can do for you is say, hey, this looks weird. But whether or not it truly is weird is going to be up to the documentation in your chart. So there could be times that, you know, your software scrubber's having a heart attack over something that gets scored, but that it could be a valid score. It could be a very valid situation. So nurses and reviewers, you know, we're trying to interpret the way the therapies talk versus the way the nurses document, and sometimes it gets a little muddy. So really looking at your documentation and adding documentation to explain the scores that don't appear to align is going to be huge, because we're going to need to know to be able to make a change or not make a change. That is the question, right? So we're going to need to have that documentation to know whether or not these things are truly aligning, or if it was an error. So it's going to get really tricky, and we're going to have to depend on some good documentation. So brushing up on those documentation skills and not just checking boxes is going to be very, very important in 2025. And then the ANA scores. ANA is activity not attempted. So all those scores that are 09s, 07s, 88s, and 10s, those are considered activity not attempted codes. Some of them are very valid situations, especially your 88s. If a patient's not safe to perform a function, then they're truly not safe, and that is a valid score. The 09s as well, very valid situation. The ones you probably want to focus your attention and time on to analyze in the next few months and try to reduce, if at all possible, are your 07s, where the patient refuses, and your 10s, where the environment is not conducive to scoring the question, because those are very vague scores. They're also kind of like, maybe I didn't want to put a whole lot of effort into it, so I'm just going to put this down here and move on with my day. So that never happens, I know, right? But we just need to keep an eye on those things and make sure that's not happening, because the GG items, how they differ, which is the next slide we're going to talk about, some little changes on the GG items, how they differ. Next slide, Jan.
1 second. Sorry about that. Oh. I didn't touch your cue. Okay, there we go.
Sleep at the wheel. Okay, so how the GG items differ is that one of the big differences is that you can allows for caregiver input into the scoring of the items. So if you've got caregivers that are very involved with your patient and they've been working with this patient for a while, you can take their input into answering these items on the GGs. So you don't have to score an 07 if the patient refuses to transfer into their wheelchair because they just got into bed 5 minutes before you arrived. You can ask that caregiver who helped them get in, you know, from their wheelchair to the bed, how did it go? How much assistance did you have to help them? Quite a bit? Or, you know, you can ask those kinds of probing questions and get a pretty good idea of how to score the item and not have to use that 07 refused score as your answer. So knowing those kinds of things is important information to have. And device use is another big thing. The device use is not considered at all in the GGs. So if they use a sliding board or a, you know, wheelchair, walker, stair lift, Hoyer lift, it doesn't matter. Did the action happen, and how much human help was needed? So all that other is irrelevant to the GG answers, except the one that I asked about wheelchair use, of course. So all of the items that you're gathering and all the information that you're putting in here and all the scores that you're getting to these GG items are going to be what is calculated for the outcome potential for this patient. So not only do we need to pay attention to the traditional GG130 and the GG170, but we also need to pay attention to that GG100 and GG110, which is how were they before? Because Medicare is going to use that information in that prediction of where can this patient go in the future. So knowing and understanding the GG100 and GG110 is going to be very important information that you want to score those correctly. And it's, you know, he's talking about prior function. So prior to what, right? So we need to figure that out, is what was this patient's prior function? And they're not talking about like at the last facility where they were, but they're talking about prior to this last injury or this last event, this last terrible thing that happened to them. So if they had a stroke and they went to the hospital and they went to rehab and now they're home, they're not talking about how were they at rehab. That's not their prior functional status. Their prior functional status is how were they before the stroke happened. So we need to be sure we're answering that question correctly if we want to be sure that Medicare is looking at our clinical picture and coming up with the best prediction possible for this patient's potential outcomes. So scoring that is going to be very important. Okay, let's move on to the next slide here. I don't want to run out of time. So, okay, so, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, the GGs and predictions and things like that. They're also going to risk adjust our information too. So if you have those patients with multiple diagnosis, which this is where my coder needs to pay attention, it's going to be important that you get the coding right for these patients, because this stuff is going to be risk adjusted, but it's only going to be risk adjusted on the OASIS. So if you think about it, the only diagnosis on the OASIS are those top six. So being sure that you're putting good information in those top six diagnosis, and I have said for years that that's valuable real estate, those six spots are very valuable real estate, so use them well, because that's all the risk adjustment that you're going to get for your patient when it's looking at these outcomes and the potential and where this patient could go. So use that space wisely. Okay, so some tips and tricks. These are some things you can tell your clinicians and some things for the QA folks on the call to think about. I tell clinicians that I work with, try scoring the GG items first. They don't always come up first in your software. A lot of times the 1800s come first. But if you can skip it, if it's possible in your EMR, if it's possible to skip those and come back to them, score the GGs first. Because the GGs are really pretty straightforward. They have the same set of answers. You know, you're scoring, you're almost comparing more apples to apples than the 1800s are, because the 1800s have some pretty weird scores depending on the question. And so, but your GGs have the same answers, you know, the 01 through 06, and then your ANA scores. So they're very much straightforward. And so answer those first and then score your 1800s and see if that doesn't make it a little bit easier for your clinicians. Using scrubber results as a guide only. We mentioned that a minute ago. They're not the rule. So just because your software scrubber is having a heart attack over something that got scored, they're not the end all be all, you know? And sometimes I have found in a couple circumstances, they're just wrong. They're flat wrong and they give you wrong guidance. So be careful with your scrubbers and relying on your scrubbers. Use it as a guide. And make sure that, you know, you're looking at the things that it's pointing out. But I would not change a score solely because a scrubber told me to. Look at your documentation and, you know, coach your clinicians about giving you what you need in the documentation. And this I thought was interesting, so I want to point it out. I know we don't have very many clinicians on the call today, but This one kind of made me have to think a minute. I read this on an inpatient rehab scenario talking about a gait belt being used. And gait belts are very widely used by therapy. But having a hand on that gait belt if it just has to be there to grab on in case, you know, that's, you know, true standby assistance. But if you have to keep a hand on that gate belt at all times, that is human assistance. So that is more than contact guard or just standby assistance. That's actual hands-on assistance. If that hand has to be on that gate belt at all times for that patient to be considered safe. And so that falls into less than 50% effort. So that would be an O3 score. And I know personally, I have seen situations where that's an O4 all day long, but it's really not, because that hand is hands-on assist. So that would be an O3 score. So I thought that was interesting. So take a look at that and take that back and start looking at your stuff with some new eyes. And safety, of course, is always considered when we're scoring patient ability. And we need to be scoring these patients before any interventions happen. And I know the therapists are notorious for doing interventions as they see, especially in a safety situation, but then remembering to score that patient based on what they first saw before they put that intervention into play. So just keeping an eye out for those kinds of situations if the documentation is there for you, or instructing the caregivers that you review for about that as well. All right, so my final slide here is just some places that you can go to get some additional information, because like I said, I talked, you know, probably as fast as I possibly can today and kind of hit just the absolute highlights of the information. So there's a lot of information out there. The CMS OASIS Q&As have some information, and I suspect that they will have more coming down the pike as we get closer to OASIS E beginning. As people start thinking about the GDs, there's going to be questions and people are going to write in and ask those questions. So I encourage you to do the same. If you are, you know, have this burning question, the what if, you know, we have this patient in this scenario, how would we score this? Write in. Send those things in, because as of right now, there's not a whole lot out there as far as Q&As for the GG items. So, you know, having some good information out there would be very helpful. So I encourage you to do that. Presentations by industry leaders, such as the Decision Health Quality Outcomes and Documentation Conference, just coming up in Charlotte in September. I'll be doing another bigger talk on the GG items for that as well. And then I mentioned the inpatient rehab quarterly Q&As. There's a link on this slide for you. I actually found some really good information on that, because they've been doing the GGs a little bit longer and it's been tied to their reimbursement and stuff for a while. So they've done a really good job at coming up with some examples in the rehab world that translate over into home health. So I encourage you to go check those out as well. And then, of course, there's always publications available. Decision Health has a lot of OASIS articles on the Coding Center. They have a home health guide to the OASIS manual available as well. And SHP, for my admins on the call today, SHP really has some great articles and blog posts, even if you're not a member of SHP. But they have some great information on their website about the calculations for that discharge function measure and that fancy Medicare math that they're going to be doing, that, you know, I would need some mathematicians and some charts and graphs and easels to be able to explain all that. So I'm not going to try to do that, because I am not a mathematician. But there is some fancy math that's going to be happening with those discharge function scores. So, and they have some great articles that can tell you more information about that. So that was the high level overview, Jan.
That's so great. Thanks so much, Kelly. There was so much good information in there. I really appreciate it. And on a related note, I wanted to share in our What's New with OCC, Decision Health's upcoming Home Health Quality and Outcomes Documentation Conference is coming up soon. And Kelly will be presenting a session with a deeper dive into the GG items and their impact. So if that's something you want to learn more about, this conference is a great place to dig in and do that studying. That's September 16th through 18th for the Home Health Quality Outcomes and Documentation Conference. And this is the place where you'll learn how to positively impact your home health agency's quality outcomes and ensure documentation compliance and proper payments. And don't forget that AHC members can save $100 off the registration fees. So there's a link in the handouts to follow to learn more and register for that
conference.
Thank you
to Kelly for speaking with us today and Jan for hosting. As we wrap up today's episode, I'd like to remind you that HealthRev Partners offers a wealth of Oasis E resources and training to support your team's success. Two key programs that I want to highlight are one, the Coding Corner. This resource provides expert guidance on Oasis E coding best practices, helping your team navigate the complexities. It includes regular updates on coding changes and any tips for accuracy. And then two, our Preceptor Partnership Program. This innovative program is designed to enhance clinician performance and foster improved documentation practices. It offers personalized mentorship to boost Oasis E confidence, hands-on training to improve documentation accuracy, and strategies to increase regulatory compliance. These programs have been shown to reduce errors, to minimize audit risks, and optimize reimbursement. They are part of our commitment to empowering your agency with the knowledge and skills needed to excel in Oasis E. So don't let Oasis E challenges hold your agency back. Partner with HealthRev to unlock your team's full potential and drive better patient outcomes. You can visit our website to learn more about how these resources can benefit your organization. We look forward to supporting your GG item Oasis E journey. Until next time.